We've all been there. Admit it. Even if it's just once when you were having a bad hair day or something. We've all found ourselves at a networking event, club meeting, or business dinner, feeling a little awkward or nervous, not knowing what to say or where to begin. Of course, it would be grand to make some dazzling impression and woo anyone with an earshot of our beguiling quips. Oh, well. Okay, so Vandy Forrester is the owner and founder of the Forrester Institute in Garden Valley, Idaho, where he designs communications programs for companies. Just a few of his past clients include Tiffany, UCLA, and General Electric. Not too shabby. He also teaches a class through PCC Extension called Social Skills for Professional Success. He holds a master's in speech communication. I should take that class. He holds a master's in speech communication from Cal State Long Beach, which is where he joins us now by phone. Thank you for joining us, Mr. Forrester.
I am right here.
Oh, fantastic. So good to hear your voice.
Well, it's nice to hear your voice, too.
All right. So we're just going to dive on in. How about we just start from the basics? How would you define small talk?
Small talk is chit-chat. It is conversation to have a social relationship with somebody. It's sharing intimacies and little things that happen in your daily life. It's small talk.
Okay.
The Brazilians call it short talk.
Short.
Every culture has small talk.
Okay.
And every culture has a concept for small talk, and every culture has a set of rules that go along with small talk and decide and tell you how to conduct small talk. Certain things are acceptable and certain things aren't in small talk.
Oh, okay. Well, that's something we should definitely do. But before we get there, I hear people say quite often, that they, quote, hate small talk. Is small talk bad?
Small talk is the grease that makes society run. It's the lubricant that enables you to stay married, to fall in love, to fall out of love, to have a job, and also to get ahead in your job. Because we find that when a person goes to work, he or she is judged primarily on the way they speak, the manner in which they speak, the tone of voice, the vocabulary, sometimes the accent. All of this goes back to, I don't want to bore your listeners, but this goes back to 500 B.C., to Aristotle the philosopher, who gave us the first rules for small talk in his short but powerful book, The Rhetoric.
Oh, okay. Well, what are a few of those rules, if you don't mind?
Well, the rules are to talk like you know what you're talking about, to say what you mean and mean what you say. To look the person with whom you're speaking in the eye. You know, California is a multicultural community, to say the least. Just in the public school districts, the children come from homes where about 300 to 350 languages are spoken as the first language in the home. So California is the quintessential multicultural society. And we bring in California to our small talk ideas that were passed down to us by our ancestors. Looking somebody else in the eye, for instance, that is required for an American or a North American. If we don't look people in the eye when we're speaking to them, small talk or giving a formal speech before a large audience, they don't trust us. Whereas in other cultures, looking somebody in the eye, at least right away and without permission, is maybe not such a good idea.
Hmm.
So there are culturally based rules. Another rule is to speak clearly and to enunciate your words. You know, when I was a teenager and college student, I'm afraid I spoke the slang of the day, the patois of the day.
Hmm.
And so that's all right, but as we grow, we have to abandon the patois and speak like grown-up adults. But some of us don't do that.
At what age do you find that to be the most relevant time to kick over?
You know, that's an excellent question because nobody really tells us. Life changes the rules on us, but doesn't give us the new rule book. We learn by making mistakes, which is an important part of small talk also, because if we're not good talkers, if we're not good oral communicators, then somehow we don't get ahead. I teach a lot of engineers, for instance. And without engineers, we wouldn't be anywhere. We would have no buildings, no advancements. We wouldn't have landed on the moon many times before anybody else even got a rocket that far. we love engineers, but engineers are not the best communicators sometimes. Mm-hmm. I get a lot of students from Caltech and also the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in my seminars at PCC Extension. Mm-hmm. And I teach them how to do small talk. And but if they don't learn, these technically trained people, if they don't learn how to small talk, then somehow they don't get the bigger cubicle. They just don't get ahead. We find in business that people who can chit-chat and talk casually with their superiors as well as their peers get ahead faster.
And how do you teach somebody to chit-chat?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, because I have I've just recently published my 14th book on the subject.
Oh, wow. Lots to talk
and
about.
And in my 14th book, it's called, by the way, No Risk is Too Great When Your Dream is Big Enough. That's the title of my 14th book on talking. And in this book, to make it easy for my students and for the people who buy the book, I list approximately 100 ways to have small talk and chit-chat. And let me tell you something interesting. As I was telling students last night at a seminar that I conducted at the Arcadia High School campus of PCC Extension, mm-hmm. you don't have to know any Plato quotes. You don't have to know Shakespeare or William Faulkner. You don't really have to know factually a lot of things to be engaged in small talk, because it's a lot easier than that. And here's the technique. To be a good small talker, all you have to do is ask the person with whom you're speaking open-ended questions about themselves. Once you get the other person talking about themselves, then you have a terrific conversation, because people love to talk about themselves. They don't want to talk about you. They don't want to know what you think about Plato or politics or the sequester or the government shutdown. What they want to talk about is what they think about. So make it easy for them by asking open-ended, friendly questions.
All right. Well, that is the first of many tips we're going to get from Mr. Forrester. Vandy Forrester is joining us from Long Beach, and he teaches a class at PCC Extension. We're going to get back to that in just a few minutes. Don't go anywhere. This is Sweet Life. You're back with us on LanserRadio.org. This is Sweet Life. I am Brooke Peterson, and today we get to talk to Vandy Forrester. He is teaching us about social skills for professional success. And we've all been there. We've had those awkward moments where you don't know what to say. You feel kind of awkward. You're kind of a shy person. Mr. Forrester, what do you tell people who are just, they're shy? How do they get out of that?
But the first thing you have to do is conquer the mental concept of shy. Shy is just a word. Nobody's mm-hmm. shy. When you were born, you gave the most terrific speech of your entire life, right? You had to have. When the doctor patted you on the popo.
Ask my mom about that one.
you started giving speeches. So you could speak from, what's the old expression, the get-go?
Uh-huh, yeah.
And so from then to that day, from that day on, society tells us to be quiet and sit down. I grew up in a culture where children were seen and not heard. And talking about life changing the rules on you, pretty soon when you reach adulthood, they switch. And now you're supposed to be a dazzling conversationalist. But you've been told to be quiet, and children should be seen and not heard since you gave that first speech in the doctor's office or in the cab going to the hospital. Mm-hmm. And so how do you do it? The first thing you remember is shy is just a word. Here's how most people become shy. Let's say everybody has one of these. Let's say Aunt Tilly from Tulsa mm-hmm. is in town. And she's your mother's sister from Tulsa. Mama wants to make a good impression. How does she make a good impression? With her children, of course. And so Mama tells you, when Aunt Tilly's in town, please sit there and be quiet. Mm-hmm. And so you're sitting there doing what Mama told you, and Aunt Tilly from Tulsa or Fort Worth or wherever Aunt Tilly is from looks at you, and you're being quiet and being well-behaved and doing exactly what Mama said, and Aunt Tilly looks at you and says, "My, shy, aren't we?" Simply because you're obeying your mama's rules and being a good little girl or a little boy. And we hear that word shy for the first time, sometimes from a relative, but we hear it in it's a pejorative term. We know it's not good. And so from that day onward, we think we're shy. And so then you run into me, and I teach you that shy is just a word. And teaching the theoretical concepts of how to do small talk is easy. But getting my students over the mental barrier that Aunt Tilly or somebody mm-hmm. put in there is not easy. And we don't teach these subjects in schools, by the way, because with budget cuts, et cetera, everybody wants to be a scientist and an engineer now. Mm-hmm. And a lot of schools have cut their speech programs. So they come to me, and I teach them a simple way of talking. And that is to, first thing I teach them is to meet and greet with flair. Here's another tip for you. Meet and greet with flair.
Okay.
How do you talk to somebody? Well, when you walk into a room, for instance, a business meeting, a new class, at the student union, on campus, most of the people you do not know, and you're not going to know them because they're not going to come up to you and introduce themselves because they're shy too.
Mm-hmm.
And so the only way you get to meet new people is to walk up to the person that you want to meet and do these things in the following order. First thing you do is look them in the eye. And the next thing you do is extend your hand for a handshake. The next thing you do is smile so they know they're not being attacked. Mm-hmm. They're being approached by a friend. And then you say your name, your full name, first and last name. And you shake their hands. Because in this culture, everybody knows handshaking in this culture. So when they see a smile and a friendly face and a hand extended for a handshake, they will take your hand because it is an egregious social faux pas in America particularly, not to take the proffered hand of somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then you start asking them questions about themselves. You know, do you go to PCC? How do you like this student union? Nice day we're having here. And you strike up a conversation. And that's the way you do it. And if you don't do that, then you're going to have to subscribe to TV Guide for the rest of your life because your life will be a TV. And that's how you get social conversations going.
Okay. So say you're doing your thing. And now one of my challenges that I can speak personally on is getting someplace. And I don't have a problem introducing myself and looking in the eye and mm-hmm. that initial contact. I'm okay with that. Although those are very good, nice to have the step-by-step instructions. But for me, it's when you're told you have to work a room, flutter and flow around and meet as many people as you can hand out 5 business cards or whatever. So how do you get in and out of these conversations graciously and not seem rude?
Well, I'm so glad you asked. Because let's take the exact scenario you just painted for us in your excellent question. Let's take a student, a new freshman at PCC, a new first-year student at PCC. I've been teaching at PCC both for credit and also non-credit extension for over 20 years. And I know that PCC has excellent social introduction mixers for their brand-new students to introduce them to the student body and also to introduce them to the programs of the college. And so you walk into this room. Let's take you up to the door of the front of the room. And what I'm going to teach you is crack the cluster, C-R-A-C-K, crack the cluster. The first thing you have to do is go through that door and go into the room that says student mixer, 7 p.m.
Mm.
Strange as it may seem, I have talked and taught and helped people who couldn't go through that door.
Yeah.
They were so shy from Aunt Tilly from Fort Worth that they
darn Aunt Tilly.
They couldn't go through that door.
Yeah.
First thing you do is have to go through that door. Now, you go through the door and you're standing there. You've got your best clothing on. You went to Nordstrom or wherever you shop or the student union, and you have your best sweatshirt on. You're attired in the garments of the day for your peer group. And you go through the door, and in that room are hundreds, certainly dozens, but probably hundreds of complete strangers.
Sure, daunting.
It's daunting. It's terrifying. And guess what? Here's more terror. None of those strangers rush over to you and say, "Oh, Brooke, we're so happy you came here. You're late. We've been sitting here talking about you for the last half an hour, wondering when you were going to walk through that door."
And nobody ever says that to me. I don't know why. I keep expecting it.
They don't. So if you stand there by the door, you're going to become the proverbial wallflower.
Mm-hmm.
And the longer you stand there doing nothing, the worse you're going to feel about them and yourself. And you're going to confirm in your own mind what you've been thinking all these years, that you're shy. So here's the way you do it. As you look around the room, you will see what I call clusters. There will be people who are just as new to the social graces as you are, but somehow they got there before you, and they are gathered in clusters of 3 to 4 to 5 people. First thing you do is walk up to one of those clusters. Now, this is a terrifying walk. Those are going to be the longest steps of your life. But you walk up to the first cluster, let's say the cluster nearest to you, and you walk up to the cluster, and as you walk to that cluster, you're going to see a strange thing happen, more rejection. The closer you get to the cluster, the tighter the cluster gets. They just don't open up and say, oh, goodness, we saw you over there. We're so glad you came over to talk to us. Let's talk. They don't do that because they're safe, and they don't care whether you're not safe. So you've got to crack the cluster. Here's the way you do it. You get up very close to them within what we call the personal bubble, which for each person varies from 12 inches to 24 inches. You get right up to them until you can almost feel some body heat. Mm-hmm. They're not talking to you. So you're going to be looking at the middle of the cluster through some shoulders. Stand there for a few seconds and wait until you hear one of the people in that cluster say something friendly. Nice weather in Pasadena today. I got a great class here. We're going to have a good football team this year. Whatever. At the moment you hear something with which you can agree, extend your hand through the shoulders and proffer your hand in the middle of the group to the person who has said that friendly thing, and you say, I agree. Now, who can reject somebody who agrees with them?
Huh.
And smile.
Huh.
And then you're in the cluster, because when your hand comes through, the cluster is going to open up, and your body will be in there.
So what happens if you're standing there and like you never hear anything positive? And you're just standing there, Hopefully it doesn't take too long, but I can sense that being pretty awkward too.
It is awkward. Well, if you don't say anything, if you don't crack the cluster, if you don't extend your hand, if you don't take some positive action, if you don't do the first steps to crack the cluster and be a friend, you're not going to have a friend. My mother told me when I was a child, in order to have a friend, you have to be a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And in a situation where you are excluded from the cluster, then you have to take the first steps to get in the cluster.
Well, sadly,
once you're
our time
in the cluster, you introduce yourself to the other members of the cluster.
Yeah, our time is racing by, so I just want to make sure we get to this one thing I want to get to, which is how to extract yourself from these clusters, or worse, one-on-one conversations graciously and politely to move around a room.
Well, I call that ditch the dud. Sometimes when we develop all these fancy social
Mr.
skills,
Forrester,
we attract the wrong people, don't we? And we want to get rid of them sometimes. So depending upon how much time we have, I'll start talking, and you can tell me we're out of time.
I have to ditch
you.
We're
on a hard break. Goodbye. All right, here we go. The first way to get out of the cluster, get away from the dud, is the bathroom. You say, oh, I have to go to the bathroom. The bathroom works better cross-gender because no male is going to follow you into the bathroom. However, if you say to another female, oh, I have to go to the bathroom, she's going to say, what? You got it. I'll go too. The next is the bar. I'm not advocating drinking alcoholic beverages, but every mixer, every room has some refreshment area. So you say to the person you're trying to get rid of, let me buy you a Snapple or a martini, whatever the environment calls for. You take them over to the bar. You buy their drink. As they are reaching for the drink that you have just paid for, you back into the crowd at the bar.
Oh.
And by the time they turn around, if they turn around looking for you, once they have your money and your drink, then you're gone.
Okay. We have to leave it there, Mr. Forrester. I'm so sorry. Vandy Forrester teaches a one-day workshop through Pasadena City College Extension called Social Skills for Professional Success. Next week, he's teaching a class called Become a Dazzling Conversationalist. No pressure. He can teach you. Go to pasadena.edu to sign up. We'll see you next week. This is Sweet Life. I'm Brooke Peterson.